Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We've got a great listener question show because we recorded this one literally just an hour ago. Pam and Ricky join me and we get some awesome questions for you today. First of all, we talk about the difference in experience when you sail Disney Cruise Line between the Disney Wish and those classic ships like the Wonder and the Magic. Because listener Jenna, she sailed with us on the podcast cruise this past summer on the Wish, and she's heading out to Alaska on the Wonder. She's worried, am I going to be disappointed because I've sailed the latest and the greatest, and now I'm going back to one of the older ships. So we have that discussion on today's show. We also talk about Aerophile at Disney Springs. Do you know what that is? We'll talk about that today. We also talk about extra experiences like those magical extras around Walt Disney World. Do they happen at Disneyland? Len and Jen out in Maryland want to know that. We'll also talk about taking your babies to Walt Disney World. Some tips for the first time when you've traveled as a couple for so many years. This and much more coming your way on today's show. As always, our shows are brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney vacation. Of course, there are some great offers out there right now for Walt Disney World. We're helping you book those great Disney Cruise Line vacations for summer of 2025. Just check out all the details right now over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you so much to our Patreon supporters. You make all these shows possible. Couldn't do it without you. And our Patreon supporters get a bonus show every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest. Just $5 a month supports our podcast. So come on over, support us this week. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2467 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're having a great week. We are around here because it is podcast time and we love recording this show. And it's always fun to get together on a Wednesday to answer your listener questions because, well, we know sometimes what we're going to get, but typically not really. So we're going to have some fun bouncing around Disney Cruise Line, Walt Disney World, maybe heading out to the West Coast, talking a little Disneyland. And to do that, my two good friends that I get together with every week, it's so much fun. And joining us from themouseforless.com and a Disney World After All.com, which I remember this week, we have Ricky. Ricky, happy Wednesday. What's going on?
Happy Wednesday. Yeah, there's been a lot of, you know, news coming out this week. So if you want to find out the latest news without all that clickbait stuff that no one likes, visit my site at DisneyWorldAfterAll.com and you'll get all the details without the clickbait, which is the nice part.
No, so we got clickbait. Yeah, and we got some offers there, a little free dining there for Disney. Yes. Visa card holders. That's always exciting times. I mean, we got some most of July, some dates, a little, short little window there in September.
And yeah, the September window is the one I'm like, yeah. You guys really just went with it on this. Just like 1 week, right?
It's a little touch and go in September. And then December, a little kind of medium little range of dates there in December.
Actually, the September one surprises me because, you know, September before was always when free dining was offered, and it was always offered the entire month. Now it's just literally offered 1 week, and I'm like, what's going on in September that I'm missing? Because
I have a thought.
Yeah.
I have a thought. I mean, because the thing is, you can always expand it, right? It's easier to expand than contract. So maybe that's what they're thinking. So we'll see how that goes. So there's also some room offers out there as well. And I mean, we saw that there's going to be some changes to DAS, so stand by for that because, you know, that's going to go into effect for some folks on May 20th, so we'll see how that works, too.
Yeah. They use a system, I believe, that's very similar at Universal, it's, from what I can tell, it's worked out pretty well for them, so I think that they've just decided to roll over that system to Walt Disney World and actually Disneyland as well, so it's supposed to help cut down on, you know, we've all heard about the misuse from people who weren't necessarily supposed to use DAS. So it's supposed to cut down on the misuse and really make sure that the people who actually need it get to use it. So that's the part that's the most important, is that the people who really, really, really do need to use it can use it.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I'm excited. I mean, honestly, that's what I'm excited for, that the people who need it get to use it more effectively. So let's hope that's the case.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. All right. Also joining us, we have Pam Forrester. She's co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, freshly returned from a cruise. Not that I'm a little bit envious of her being out to sea, but I'm in the 80s. I'm in the 80s on my countdown there. So,
I thought you meant an age. Okay, got it.
You stink. No, but I'm in the 80s in my countdown to the fantasy. Not that I'm excited or anything, but Pam, how was you sent us a little picture of coming into Nassau, that little house that we love, and it didn't look good.
Oh, no. All the houses on that little strip of land there were pretty much wiped out, so I felt bad. But I think if you didn't at least think about that being a possibility when you built there, But yeah, they are. So, that's fine. But every time I'm in the waters there, I always think that blue, it's the bluest water there is anywhere. It's just, it's gorgeous. And we actually happened to be sitting out on our balcony right before the ship was getting ready to pull back into the ocean. And there are about 100 different boats coming from Paradise Island, back into the port. I'm sure dropping off folks who were doing excursions that day in Nassau. So anyways, it was good to see. We had a good time. It was nice to be out at sea. There's nothing more peaceful and relaxing than that.
Two from the ship, they've really redone the port of Nassau there, the arrival entry port there. It looks a lot different than it did even 5 years ago. It's much more approachable, much more efficient looking now.
For sure. It seemed like it used to be before they sort of dumped you into this area and you were...
I wasn't going to say that, but I mean, just you're calling it what it is.
It is. I truly am. It was like you felt like you were sort of dumped in the middle of this questionable area, but now it's much more cleaned up, yes. And it looks good, and there looks like there's things that you want to do there. They've redone actually some of the hotels there on the beach. Those look like good, and of course you can always see Senior Frogs.
I still remember a day there with Hannah and Paige when they were of legal age in the Bahamas, but they were
in the Bahamas. Yes,
yes, they were.
They were not of legal age in the States, and they had the tall, skinny drinks. And my brother-in-law Andy was leading the shot train on a Tuesday at 10:30 in the morning. I was like, man.
Yes, hopefully their first shot train. Yeah,
all I know is, like, I was just thinking, this is what the Bahamas Department of Tourism is loving. Americans from Missouri are 10:30 on a Tuesday leading the shot train. What's up? I was just sitting there like, can I have a cheeseburger?
So
can I please have a cheeseburger? Yeah, yes, it was. I was just like, can we get back on the ship before somebody goes to jail? Yeah. I don't want to be left behind. I was a little nervous. Okay, Sydney's got a question. Let's jump in. And it says, Aerophile at Disney Springs. Hello, BOGB crew. I have yet another question for you. As previously mentioned, we, myself, my husband, and 7-year-old daughter, are headed down to Walt Disney World in September. On our last, I was thinking of spending the day at Disney Springs, as our flight isn't until 8 p.m. My question is, what are your thoughts on Aerophile? Do you guys know what Aerophile is?
Okay,
when I saw the question, I was like, is this a store? I was like, remember, because there's that store at the mall. Do you remember there's it's called
Aerophile. That's Aerohostel.
I know. See, when I got this email at first, I didn't open it.
Yeah,
because I used to kid.
You know how I said something about you being 80? No, because
80. I have two girls and they used to shop there, but I think it went out of business. Yeah. But then I was like, is she
talking? No, it's still
like,
there.
It's still there, yeah.
For people who don't know, this is the hot air balloon. But anyway, she continues. She says, thoughts on Aerophile, the hot air balloon at Disney Springs. Have you experienced this attraction? Thanks for always answering my questions. I appreciate you and the whole BOGP community for your expertise and opinions. You're the best. Thanks, Cindy. She is in Mississauga, Ontario, up in Canada. Very cool. All right. So I have not. This thing, I fly, but my family did this one day when I went to a media event. I was like, I got to go to Epcot to a media event for like 2 hours. You guys go do the balloon if you want to do it at Disney Springs, because something about that, I'm scared the cable's going to go loose and I'm going to end up in Canada someday or Africa or somewhere, or South America. You know, I don't want to turn into Carl. You know, like, I don't know how it's going to work out. The thing freaks me out. I don't know. I watch it. Like, I'm curious because when I'm in Disney Springs, I watch it and it sways. It's not for me. I think I'd get up there. I think I'd have a panic attack. So I'm not paying money to get a panic attack. So I'm not doing it. But Ricky, you have. So go ahead.
I have. It's been a while actually since I've done it. But I have. And it's really cool. It offers some really amazing views of Disney Springs and Walt Disney World overall. And it's just, it's a really, really neat experience that is unmatched by pretty much anything else, because you are up in the air and you are tethered, so you're not going anywhere.
You hope.
So you can feel safe. And the good thing is it's a lot bigger up in there than you think it is when you like look at it. So like there's plenty of room for people. And you can kind of walk around and see the views of different areas of, you know, the resort and stuff like that and Orlando and stuff. I will say it doesn't have the best track record in the sense that it is closed down a lot due to the fact that they do have a lot of safety measures in place. They, like, if it's windy at all in any way, shape, or form, they aren't flying. And the interesting thing is that you may not feel the wind down where you are on ground level, but I tell you, when you get up in the air, if, like, even just the slightest breeze, that thing is going really, you know,
See, up at like 15,000 feet, that thing will sway.
Mm-hmm. It will definitely sway pretty good, is yeah what I was getting to. See, so
you are making my point. Go ahead.
I'm happy that they have the safety measures in place so that people are safe. That actually makes me feel safer to know that they do close it when the wind is at a certain degree. So just know that it may not be open when you get to it, because they are keeping it safe for everyone and the winds may just be a little too much.
I like it. I mean, safety first, right? Pam, real quick thoughts on the hot air balloon.
Yeah, we've done it too and I really enjoyed it. I don't always like heights, especially things that are like unstable and moving like that. I try to make myself do the things, even when I'm ever, you know, when I'm in a situation, I'm like, I know that I have these feelings and I try to make myself do it. In fact, near us, probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours north of us, there is this bridge. It used to be a train bridge and they have a section of it where the floor is glass.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
So I know I said to Steve, okay, I think that we need to go up there and I need to make myself do this.
See, why do people think they need to? They do that in Chicago.
Like personal growth.
Is it? Because in Chicago, I think the Sears Tower, or whatever, has like a section where you can like walk out and it's glass.
Why?
That would give me a heart attack. Like, I don't need to give that to myself.
I think these are the things, and I keep telling myself this as I get older, these are the things that help you sort of, I think, stay young. I think that they're pushing yourself to continue to do things,
I'm sweating right now. My palms are sweaty just talking about this.
But anyways, I will say the first probably 5 to 10 seconds, I was focusing on my breathing and where I was and all of those things that you're supposed to do when you're really nervous about something. But once I got up there, it was really easy to just look at the beautiful views and to see everything. And you can see so much. I keep saying I want to do it when the fireworks are going on, because I think that would be great.
Oh, that would be cool.
See,
cool.
I know, right?
I was going to say, could you imagine doing it during the drone show? But I'm almost certain they would not do that during the drone show.
I'm sure it's not going to be up there then.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because, I mean, imagine when those drones goes rogue and pops it. Because then you look like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. You'll end up over at Universal. Okay, next question. Ash Lanza, shout out, she's in New Jersey, over on Instagram, watching live. Going down for my first trip as a mom this summer. Congratulations. Well, up until now, my husband and I did adults-only trips, but we're making this trip down with our one-year-old. Sounds kind of familiar, Ricky. Any tips or must-dos? I got one tip. Diapers.
Yes, diapers.
Don't forget the diapers.
Don't forget diapers. Don't forget food, snacks.
Okay.
Definitely need the snacks.
So I'm gonna channel my Pam Forrester on this one because I've been listening for the past 16 years. And I'm gonna go with her number one tip: follow the child's schedule. Don't deviate as much as you might want to. Right, Pam?
Yeah, I think that makes everything go better. I mean, you know, when you have a young child. And even an older husband that sometimes deviating too far. There's
a lot of difference between a one-year-old like somebody my age too.
Or a friend like Mike Rahman. Yes. If you deviate too much from the schedule in terms of sleep or meals,
things start to go bad.
If you get meltdowns, there could be crying.
No truer words.
The need for naps. You know what I mean? No, I think everyone's happier when they're on their own schedule. And you know your child best. Like, I think, you know, if you have one late night, that's one thing. But eight continual late nights and things get bad. And I saw it recently when we were in the world. There was a kid like melting down. And mom was doing such a good job. It was just, you know, she was letting him be in his feelings, not giving him attention, but letting him safely carry it out. And that's one of the hardest things as a parent to do that, especially when you're out in public, right? You feel like you have to do something, like all the things you know you're not supposed to do when your child's freaking out, like giving them attention or giving in or whatever. You're like, what do I need to do to get you to
stop? Everybody's watching.
These people think I'm killing you, but no, I think do that and try to take, you know, if your child is one who's really particular about food, then when you get there, I would place an Instacart order to get some of those things that your child likes to eat so that you always have something familiar. I think, you know, there's so many great things to do at Walt Disney World, and it's super easy to get overwhelmed even as an adult. And I think it's even easier for kids. So take it slow, try to keep on your schedule when possible, and just help fit in some things that like let them run some of that energy out. Cause I think that's another thing too. It's hard to be good, you know, all that time. Kids are used to, you know, toddling or crawling or whatever. And when you can't get to do all those things, that gets frustrating. So do all that stuff.
That's so true. Ricky, what have you learned like in the past year?
Yeah, definitely. The thing I've learned, especially as Lucy is starting to now kind of learn to walk and she crawls everywhere. With a one-year-old, I mean, she needs to let some of that energy out. So when we have days where, you know, we have a full kind of afternoon and she has to be confined a little bit more during the day, whether it's because she needs to be in a car seat or she, you know, needs to be in a high chair or, you know, whatever. Some days it's just best to try to find a spot where I can just let her kind of run around and crawl around and have burn off some of that extra energy. Otherwise, we will have some sort of meltdown. So that's definitely a huge thing, is just find little areas where you feel comfortable enough to let them kind of, you know, just roam. I think that's going to be key with a one-year-old or any kind of toddler, because goodness, we're getting in close to that toddler stage with Lucy. And, you know, like Pam said, have snacks for them that they are going to enjoy. Lucy doesn't have like the most strict schedule. So, you know, we just kind of stick to the basics of her schedule usually. And that seems to work for her. But I know that there are kids that do have like, they have to go to bed at this time or, you know, whatever. Thankfully for us, Lucy's not like that. So that's good for us. You know, just go at their pace. I think that's going to be key. Enjoy the attractions that they can enjoy. So you're going to do lots of things that are, you know, safe for little ones. So enjoy your time on It's a Small World and Dumbo all the time. And take advantage of Child Swap, which, you know, will allow, you know, the adults to go ride an attraction, hang, and then one adult will hang out with the child, and then you, the other person will then get to go ride the ride at a later date through the fast pass, well, not fast pass line, but the lightning lane line. So that's one of the things that we take advantage of as well when we're down there is the child swap.
Well, too, and you mentioned letting the kids blow off some steam by getting out of the stroller and not being confined. Yes. And being able to burn off excess energy. Disney in the past 5 years, 5 to 10 years, has made this so much easier for parents with these green spaces and these little mini playgrounds, like at Epcot, yeah, Magic Kingdom, with these spaces. I mean, this is one of the things that maybe 15 years ago was more of a challenge. I mean, there was a lot of attractions, but just really no care, nowhere to let a kid just kind of run around, you know, and just like, you know, just get out there and just burn off energy. But now you can find these places, multiple spots like this in every theme park, which I think is a huge advantage for parents of toddlers and younger kids.
For sure. Yeah, it is. And you know what? There's sort of a, when we were down there last, I was really looking around at some of this stuff. In the Living Seas, if you go up top by the aquariums, that's actually a perfect space for someone who's not a super strong walker to actually go along, because they can sort of go along the aquarium and look at it. And I thought, and it's like cool in there and a little dark. And I was like, oh, this would be a good place to kind of decompress here.
Absolutely.
So remember that. And there's something
that's
like
a good,
that.
Thank you. That's a good tip.
That's a great
utilizing
tip.
That one. Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, it's almost always empty too. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to bug anybody, and the kid can, yeah, that's a great, it's very calming. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's, that's where I need to go.
It is. Yeah, that's true.
That's a good read. All right. Next question. Pam, let's go for you. We're talking about this in the pre-show. It's from Jenna, Dr. Butler. She actually cruised with us on the BR Guest Podcast cruise this past summer, which was awesome, her and her family. Hey, BOGP crew, I love listening to the recent trip report on the Alaska cruise, which was just this past Monday, a couple days ago, with listener Kara, which was awesome. We're getting rave reviews on that show. She said, because we're going on our first Alaska cruise this next May. We've only ever been on the Wish, so my question is, what is the older Disney Wonder like? And will we be disappointed having been on the brand new Disney Wish? I'm afraid it will feel old and less magical, especially for the kids. Thanks for everything you do. And I think this is kind of human nature, right? Because, you know, I mean, we all want like the latest. I mean, it's like, you know, like do I the iPhone 15 Pro Max? I mean, you know, and somebody hands you an iPhone 12, like, I don't want that old dirty, you know, thing, you know. And I mean, an iPhone 12 is still an iPhone, you know, it does all kinds of magical stuff. Pam, you've sailed on the Disney Wonder. I've sailed on the Disney Wonder. You know, every ship has different experiences. And I think the thing about, especially the classic ships on the Disney Cruise Line, the magic and the wonder at this point, you get a more intimate experience on those ships. And it feels just, you're going to get to know your serving team. You're not going to compete with as many guests on these ships. It is going to feel different, but I don't think any less magical. But give your thoughts.
No, I don't think so at all. And I think, first of all, right off the bat, to put your mind at ease, these ships are some frequent cruisers' favorite ships of all, the classic ships. So I think that no matter what ship you're on, I think you're definitely going to find magic there. None of the ships feel less magical. One of the things I love about the Disney Cruise Line is that they frequently bring their ships into dry docks. They add things, they refresh things, they make things feel new again. And that's what I really enjoy about that. And the other thing is, I think that each ship sort of has its own personality. They're different. And some parts of it are the same, but there's new things to discover on each of the ships. And I think that's what you really need to go into and focus on is like, what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to find on this ship that we like? I think that there's always something you can find your next favorite thing about whatever you're doing. And I think that's the one of the things that you're going to want to do. Make sure you look at the shows. The shows are different on each of the ships. There's some similarities between some, but each ship has sort of its own flavor of shows. So look at those if you enjoy those. The entertainment, each of them have their own brands of entertainment. Each of them have their own kids activities, and each of them have their own foods and restaurants and those kind of things. So there's always something new to discover. So I think you'll have a fantastic time.
And especially on the Wonder, you're going to get to do the aqua dunk, correct? Which is different than the aqua duck. So get ready to get shot vertically down the tube if you...
No, thank you. I will not be doing that.
If you've ever wanted to know what a bank deposit felt like in the 80s...
Yeah, exactly. That'll wait, she fun. Said that. Wait, they're on the Wonder, right?
Yeah, does the Wonder have that? I think
the Wonder doesn't have that.
It doesn't it's have only the Magic. It's the Magic. Well,
the Wonder actually
confused.
Is the only ship that doesn't have any kind of water slide type situation.
Well, it makes sense. They're going to a lot. What was I thinking that? I don't know. Okay, so scrapped it. Well, I mean, who wants to feel like a deposit? But what it does, here's what it does have: beignets, because it has Tiana's restaurant.
I know.
Okay, let me. So we're gonna do this or that on Friday. Would you rather have the aqua dunk and get feel like a deposit slip in the 80s, or would you rather eat a beignet?
Oh, beignet. There's no question about it. Beignet.
Yeah, that's probably right. That's probably the right answer all around. Yeah, I think I would too. Even though, you know, I've always wondered what my deposit slip felt like when my grandma would run it up the buildings.
My grandma used to put actual coins in them.
Oh, my grandma did. My grandma took them up to Boatman's Bank. Ricky knows what I'm talking about. On St. Francis. She'd fill out that little form. There it went. Yeah, no, but, you know, you're going to have a great time. I mean, just, you know, Kara talked about all the fun they did in Alaska, especially Pam. You're raving about the ports and the port adventures you get to have. And it's like, the thing is, and Kara said this too, that, and I get this from my guests a ton. A lot of people say, I want to do Alaska once. Like, I just got to try it. I just got to see Alaska once in my life.
Oh, you'll want to do it again.
Dude, I get so many repeaters on this itinerary. They're like, I told myself I just want to see Alaska one time. And so many people come back to this because they love the ship too, but they also love the itinerary and there's the port adventures 100%. You can do because they're so unique. Yeah.
Yeah. We did Alaska for the first time. Not last summer, but the summer before. We're doing it again this summer. We liked it that much. It was very port intensive, and there's something very cool about being able to cruise and not being so hot all the time. I mean, that's something that, you know, happens in the Caribbean. The other thing is that we enjoyed that sort of sense of adventure that comes with international travel, all while remaining in the U.S.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a cool thing too. So yeah, we really enjoyed Alaska. There's so much to see and do there. And don't let it be a once in a lifetime trip, because I think you're going to want to do it again.
All right, Chad's tuned in here on Facebook, and he says, hey there from OKC. For those people outside the States, that is Oklahoma City. Big trip coming up to Normandy. And I don't think he's talking about Normandy, Missouri, which is right down the road here. We're going to spend our last day at Disneyland Paris. My family, my four-year-old, and me. Would appreciate any advice. Don't know anything about it. This was a late add-on for us. Thanks a bunch. I have not been to Disneyland Paris, but the two ladies have. Ricky, real quick, give some advice. Last add-on, one day at Disneyland Paris, DLP as we call it.
Yes. Well, for your time at Disneyland Paris, don't go to the Studios Park. It's just not as worth it.
You're mean.
I know they've done a lot of work recently to try to update it a little bit, but if you literally only have one day, do Disneyland Paris proper. I think you're gonna enjoy it much better. Do keep in mind that it will feel very familiar but very different. There are a lot of walkthrough attractions at Disneyland Paris, so that is something to keep in mind. It's not a lot of rides. Well, they do have a lot of rides, and the rides that they have are like the versions that are the same as Walt Disney World or Disneyland are just far superior, in my opinion. Like, their Big Thunder blows Big Thunder away at both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. I love their pirates. I loved most of the other attractions that they had that were similar. Their Space Mountain was really cool, although it was Hyper Space Mountain when we did it, which was, I mean, neat as well. I did not get to do Phantom Manor, which is my one huge regret, but it was closed for refurbishment when we were there, so I did not get to see it, and I'm very sad about that. Maybe someday I will get back out to Disneyland Paris and get to experience it, I'm hoping. Yeah, it's the attractions that they have that are, oh, there, It's a Small World is really cool too. I do remember really liking there. It's a Small World. So, yeah, it's very, their food is abysmal. So don't go looking for really.
Do they have fries? Food. I mean, I'd be disappointed if they didn't have French fries.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Oh no. their food was not. Not
everybody great. Says they have bad food, but I mean, you always hear like, I mean, French food, isn't that like,
yeah, the only thing? Good restaurant that we ate at was the Remy, the one that's themed after Ratatouille. That was the only good restaurant.
That's
that we
ironic.
Ate at.
I would think that a Disneyland Paris would have the best food, I always hear that the food's awful. Not good.
It was awful, and there were really long waits for the food as well. So weird. I don't know if that's gotten any better, but I mean, we waited at least like 45 minutes just for a quick service location. So yeah,
I'd be an angry American.
I was very angry. I was hungry. We'd just gotten there. I was starving. I just wanted food. So yeah, it was not great.
Pam, real quick, give a couple thoughts. Cause I'll get one more question.
Yeah. Just go in looking to see, which attractions are going to be really important for you to visit. Yeah. Because with one day, it'll be really challenging. Their nighttime shows and their parades, they put a lot of energy into that. So do that. You're going to want to set aside some time for shopping because they really do have some different merchandise. And that becomes important. But I think it's really, in particular, it's interesting to see the attractions that we have here in the States and they have there and sort of compare them. I love Phantom Manor. I think it was really
Robin, thanks a lot.
No, but I mean, the pirates there is actually my favorite pirates.
It's a fantastic pirates.
It's just really cool. And there's a lot of attention to detail in that. They have a downtown Disney sort of location to Disney Spring, whatever sort of area. That actually has the balloon too. It started there. So yes, you can do that. But yeah, just focus on the things that are super important to you. I think that's what becomes the most important when you don't have, many days in a row to explore like this.
Sounds fun. And have fun, Chad, over there in Europe. All right, last question of the day. It says, listener question, Epcot, fireworks from Allie. Hey, BOGP, I'm taking my 8-year-old on a mother-daughter resort-only trip this weekend. We're staying at Caribbean Beach and would love to know the best place to watch Epcot fireworks from outside the park. We'll be watching the Magic Kingdom fireworks on the Poly Beach with a Dole Whip in hand. I previously emailed you about this trip thinking we'd stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge, but after listening to y'all discuss the Skyliner, we decided to give that area a try for the first time. We're excited to be able to travel easily between the resorts and all that they offer. We even have a late night beaches and cream reservation because as a kid, where else is it acceptable to have ice cream at 9 p.m. other than on vacation? Thanks so much for all the work you put in every week, Allie. All right, I love this email, but I don't want to burst your bubble, but it is really hard to see the Epcot fireworks outside of the park because the reason is they are very low fireworks compared to most other fireworks shows because most fireworks shows are up in the sky where Epcot kind of keeps them about 20, 30 feet above the water. You can still see some fireworks, right, Pam? I mean, your thoughts. I mean,
I will be honest with you. Watching the Epcot fireworks anywhere but in Epcot is kind of womp womp.
It is. It's like you know they're happening, but you don't really need to see much. Yeah.
Yes, you can see an occasional one up in the sky. You can't really hear the music. You can't really get the whole idea or theme of the show. It's just not that kind of thing. I've seen them. Some of the better places I've seen them from are when you're staying like club level at Boardwalk or, something like that. So I don't know that I would spend my time doing this. I will say, I understand the idea. And I think seeing the fireworks over from the Polynesian Beach is a great idea, but there are other things that I would probably think about doing at night. And I think that at many of the resorts, just taking advantage of the nighttime stuff going on at your resort would probably be just as fun, if not more fun. You get to do the campfire and roast some marshmallows and maybe see a movie under the stars. And I think that's a cool thing because you're going to be at Caribbean Beach too. You'll be able to ride the Skyliner at night. And that may be something that you want to do. I think that that gives sort of an interesting perspective on things at night to be in the Skyliner, especially when you get to that area where you sort of are riding behind the World Showcase. Yep. I think that's a really cool view. And I think that would give you something. I think even just spending the evening walking around the lake that is there by the boardwalk and the beach club and the yacht club is a great way to spend the evening too. And since you already have reservations at Beaches and Cream, that might be the perfect way to spend that evening. So I don't want to burst your bubble, but I want to set your expectations.
Yeah.
You know they're happening, but you don't see much other than like a few, you know, you see a few flyers. So you're not going to see like a show. It is kind of disappointing. But here's what I would suggest real quick, and then we're going to sneak in one more question, is maybe to spend the night on the boardwalk. Because then you can see the fireworks, kind of. But there's entertainment on the boardwalk. And you can get ice. You know, get an ice cream, Beaches and Cream, walk over. And you can check out. I like the screen door, like, shop. That's kind of fun to shop in. And yeah, you know, that's kind of, that's like the energy of the boardwalk. Just walk around. Burn off your, no way, Jose. Whatever you're going
to do. Okay, I agree.
Real quick. Jen's got a question. She is Len's better half out in Maryland, one of my great guests over the Magic for Less, and says, Mike, Len and I are eagerly looking forward to our June trip in Disneyland. It's the first time we'll be there together, and neither of us has been there in 20 years. We're going to be there for 5 park days, more than enough time to do everything quite leisurely. I was wondering, though, what else, if anything, is there to do that is not standard park stuff? While Disney World has miniature golf, boat rentals, backstage tours, and so much more, is there anything extra to do at Disneyland that we can look into as well? Thanks so much for setting up the trip for us, and we'd love to hear your and the team's suggestions. Thanks, Jen, out in Maryland. I was thinking about this, because you're right. I mean, they're right. Mm-hmm. Walt Disney World has tours and putt-putt and the balloon, you know, and all kinds of stuff like that. And I was trying to think. Of course, Disneyland has Downtown Disney, so you have that shopping district. But I was trying to think what other kind of, I mean, it is a smaller resort, right? There's not as much to do. You have the Good Neighbor Hotels kind of stripped there. So you could go over there and get, you know, Cold Storm Creamer. I mean, you could buy like the little janky gibbets off the guy there as you're walking across to the Good Neighbor Hotels.
Yes. And they sell. You can make questionable purchases.
You can. Sure. That's what I was going to say. One night, now this is not going to be guaranteed. He's going to be there every night. He was selling these wild things that he would take it, and I don't know what he did to it. He'd throw it up in the air, man. That thing would fly like 38 feet in the air, and it would come back down in his hand. I was magic. I don't know how that happened. I almost bought one. I don't even know what it was. It glowed in the dark. It was like an infomercial you'd see like at 11:30 during American Gladiators back in the 90s. I have no idea what the thing was, but it was pretty sweet. He was selling it right there as I was walking back to my hotel. I don't know if you call that like a magical extra though. Like they give you a Walt Disney World.
Doesn't seem like it. No,
it was like pretty the magical cool. Extra.
Yeah, no, I mean, no. It was pretty wild though. I'll give you that. I mean, the guy was working, but he was a hustler. Pam, I mean, I was trying to think about this. Are there any other things like this that I can think of?
It's like things outside the parks are sort of challenging. I think, you know, some of the things you could do is look at the different dining options. I mean, they do have tours there. They do have many after hours events. So you'll have to see if something like that is going on when you're going to be there.
Splitsville has bowling.
Yeah,
they do. Splitsville does have bowling. Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. But yeah, it's not quite, you know, as exciting. I don't think it's hard because they sort of got fenced in really quick there at Anaheim. And of course, we all know that's something that Walt sort of kept in mind when he was thinking about his Florida project. But there's just not, they don't have the luxury of space. The thing is, though, at Downtown Disney, they have sort of live musicians almost every night. And that's really cool to think about that. So that's something that you could do. But I think they're sort of in a rebuilding phase, as it were, right now. I mean, they're building a lot of things. They're adding more things, I think, because they know that people want to do that. The other thing you can do is just sort of, I think, explore what's happening at the other, at the resorts there. Grand Californian often has some kind of activity and or entertainment going on, so that's worth checking out. But yeah, and when the parks are open late, you get to do that. But they do have some fantastic tours at Disneyland. Those are all going to take place in the parks, but those are worth checking out too.
Yeah, like when we were there for 7 nights in July, like I never lacked a thing to do. Like I was exploring my hotel, I was in the pool, we were hanging out at not Trader Sam's, but the place next to it, with Tangaroa Terrace.
Yeah.
We went over to the Grand Californian and hung out in the lobby there for a while and got some snacks there. There's stuff. Downtown Disney has a ton of stuff to do. Like we went to Earl of Sandwich. We ate what was the pizza place upstairs at Napoli?
Naples.
Whatever it is. But I mean, there is a ton of stuff to do there. Like you will not find yourself like without
Black Tap. You can get one of those humongous shakes.
Oh my gosh!
They also have a salt and straw there. The ice cream. And we were actually, it was so funny when we were down there, we were talking about going to Salt and Straw, and Steve was almost like, yes, we have to go, because they had the guava donut and cream cheese or whatever, which he loves.
Oh my gosh.
Sounds odd. So good. So anyways, yeah.
All right. So you guys are almost there. Len and Jen, you're going to have a blast rocking my sweatshirt that I had to buy because it was so cool in the evenings in July in Anaheim. Yeah. I was like, God bless America.
Right?
It was the best. I love this sweatshirt because like I'm cold. I got to get a sweatshirt in July in a Disney theme park. I will be back. All right. That's going to do it for today. But we're going to be back on Friday. We're going to do tough Disney choices coming straight from the BOGP clubhouse. It's going to be a fun one. So come with us and play along with us in the car on your run mentally, or you can just yell it out as you're running. If you're passing somebody, that'd make for some interesting conversation. Or, you know, as you're walking the dog might be like, woo, woo, you know, who knows? We're going to have a good time though. So come on back on Friday, but join us in the clubhouse. We have the conversation going on 24/7. Just swing by brguestpodcast.com/discord. Don't forget, our show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney trip. Right now, we have the specials for the summer, July, for some of those free dining for Disney Visa card holders. Also, a little bit in September, like I said, and December, but also Disney Cruise Line. We want to get you out to sea. We want to help you see the world with Adventures by Disney and, of course, Disneyland as well. You can dream it. We can do it. I mean, Walt didn't say that, but, you know, Mike just did. So come on over to themagicforless.com today. I don't know where I was going with that. All right. Also, Amazon. Use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. No matter what you're buying, we'd love to have that support. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our Patreon supporters. You guys are the best. You make all this possible, even the bad stuff. It's patreon.com/brguestpodcast. And you get a bonus show every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest. Again, come on over to patreon.com/brguestpodcast. Give us a follow on the socials at Ricky Nibs for Ricky, at TMFLT Pam for Pam. I'm at BR Guest Mike. Twitter, Instagram, Threads, find us, and we'll see you over on the clubhouse. Don't forget this Sunday night live call-in show. Scott joins me. We take your calls. We have a blast. We have so much fun on that show on Sunday nights. It's at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram. Give us a call Sunday night. All right, we're getting out of here. We'll be back again on Friday. Tough Disney choices coming your way, so be ready and play right along with us. So until then, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. You guys have a great week, great Wednesday, whatever day you're listening, because you might not even be listening on Wednesday. You could be listening on Thursday or Sunday. It could be Tuesday. Who knows? It's a podcast. You could be listening in 2029. And if you are, hope you're having a great day. But until then, you guys stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.